Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by John Donovan and Longhorn Wealth Management Group. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined each and every morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. 75 days, guys, until kickoff. Nice little number there. Tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking, get your questions in, and tell us who was your favorite number 75 over the years. We're always interested to see all the various answers on that. But, hey, let's jump right into it. Recruiting is the name of the game. It was a huge weekend for the Longhorns. Jerry, I'm going to let you take it away.
Yeah, so I think Texas had a great weekend. Obviously, everybody's asking about the Corey and Moore. We had a great live stream last night. We had over 5,300 people on that at one point. So thank you for the continued support. But huge recruiting weekend for Texas, and I think it went really well. Does that mean Texas is going to get every guy? No, never do. But I think Texas did a great job over the weekend. Obviously, everybody's asking about the Corey and Moore. I had it at 65%. Headed into the visit, I have it between 65 and 70 now. I haven't changed anything there. Got the Oregon visit scheduled for this weekend. and then, you know, it was, I just thought everything we heard out of that, I put out a couple of highs. I think there could be up to four guys right now, but we'll see how it all plays out, right? Because sometimes there's one guy in particular right now that I believe silently committed to two different schools. So, obviously, we'll see what happens with that one player, which we won't name. Texas did a great job this weekend. Somebody asked, we have a lot of questions. We'll talk about Smith Orogbo. We'll talk about Riley Pettijohn. Let's start with Riley Pettijohn. I think Texas has been trending in that one. Headed into A&M this weekend coming up. They'll throw all the kitchen sinks in College Station at this one. They know that Texas is in a good spot for Riley Pettijohn. But I think A&M, Texas, where decision will ultimately come down to. And I think A&M knows that they have to have a great, great, great visit this weekend and throw everything at it. I think Texas is in a pretty good spot for Riley Pettijohn heading into that visit, but we'll see what happens.
Hey, Jerry, I want to step in and ask you real quick, before you go player by player, okay, what was the general vibe that you got coming out of the visit? You were at the airport, you and CJ both talking to those guys. You talked to them last night as they got home, if you didn't see them at the airport, et cetera. What was the general vibe that you got?
The vibe I got was that, look, I mean, Texas does a great job with the official visits, right? They have a really good, we overuse the term, really good culture right now. They won games. They have guys in the NFL. So they have a great product as well to sell. But what I got, one of the things I took from yesterday was they got back into karaoke Saturday night and two or three of the coaches got involved in it. And apparently Nick Brooks stole the show. Big Nick out of Cedar Rapids, JFK. Big Nick, when I say Big Nick, 6'7", 355, 360, singing a country song, karaoke, may have been the winner Saturday night. And I've heard that Nick Brooks had two great visits to Texas, by the way. Texas or Georgia, they're going to battle it out. We'll see which way it goes. But I think either team could win that. It would not shock me if Texas won out for Nick Brooks at this point. But I thought the vibe was all positive with Texas. They just have so much momentum right now. Sarkisian's such a genuine guy. I didn't hear anything negative. You know, the only negatives you hear coming out of visits are maybe, you know, from a kid that, you know, whose parents don't come, right? You kind of wonder where things actually sit there. And that could have been they had a family emergency, couldn't come. Maybe a father had to work and couldn't come. Even though from the kid's perspective is all positive, sometimes you kind of wonder, okay, what about these pieces that go into this, go with this recruitment? You look at the guys committed. Lance Jackson physically looked unbelievable, Bobby. Yeah. Unbelievable. I think Brandon Brown had a great visit to Texas. That's two in a row. Only two times he's been on campus. I really believe that Brandon really likes the idea of playing college football at Texas, University of Texas. Does that mean he's going to stick with Texas? I think that's going to come down to the decisions when he sits down with his family. But it does not surprise me, would not surprise me if Texas is where Brandon wants to be. So we'll see what happens with that. He's visiting Oklahoma this weekend. That was kind of the curveball. This is why you go to the airport when these kids get in town and when they leave. This was the curveball when Brandon Brown got off that plane from Orlando, and we were just talking. I mean, CJ and I were there with him, and I just literally asked his mom, his older sister, I said, y'all ready to go visit Miami next week? And the mom looked at me and said, oh, no, he's going to visit OU now. And I said, Brandon, you going to OU? He said, yeah, I'm visiting Oklahoma. That's why you go, right? I mean, that was kind of the big news headed into the weekend, was that Brandon Brown's not going to USC or Miami or A&M. He's going to visit Oklahoma next weekend. But I think Brandon really, really, really likes the idea of playing at Texas. It'll be interesting to see how it turns out.
Jerry, other question I had for you. You mentioned Lance Jackson. Only there were 16 recruits in all, right? Three of those had committed to Texas, Ricky Stewart, Lance Jackson, and Brandon Brown. I didn't hear much about Ricky Stewart over the weekend. Lance Jackson, I heard he looked phenomenal. Take us through that process and whether or not I know CJ and you were both talking about this yesterday, how Lance Jackson was kind of recruiting other players throughout the weekend as well.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of the role these guys take on. I think Lance Jackson spent a lot of time with Marco Jones, the edge out of San Ramon Valley there in NorCal, east of San Francisco, who looks – he's going to announce his decision July 2nd, Marco Jones, who's bigger in person than you think, by the way. So 6'4 and a half, 230 is a legitimate height weight for him. Looks like Texas, Michigan – is where this decision will come from, headed into this weekend's final official visit at USC. So we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, the guys definitely did some recruiting, some bonding with some of the guys that maybe they had been messaging back and forth with but hadn't met until the in-persons. Lance Jackson and Marco Jones, they share a common love of baseball as well. Marco Jones was actually leaving Austin, headed to Southern California, to Irvine, California, for a summer baseball tournament. So he's a legitimate baseball player. And we're not saying Deuce Robinson or anything like that, but he's a legitimate Division I prospect in baseball. So him and Lance Jackson bonded over that. They also play, you know, it's that same position. But, you know, it was interesting kind of going through the player host. Cedric Baxter hosted Brandon Brown, which I thought was smart by Texas, because that's an Orlando kid who was committed to FSU that decided Texas was the spot for him. When I think a lot of people thought FSU maybe is where he should have gone, and he's having a great time at the University of Texas. I thought that was smart. Smith Orogbo was hosted by Zena. One of the interesting team news things that came out of that was I was talking to Smith yesterday on his way back, and he said Zena told him he came in at 235 pounds in January, and he's 260 right now. Oh, so there's a little bit of team news for you. Zena's up 25 pounds. From when he reported to Austin, 235 to 260 in a pretty short amount of time, which means he's going to 275, guys. And then, you know, you kind of look at some of the other hosts. Somebody asked about DeCorian Moore. DeCorian Moore requested Ryan Wingo to be his host. CJ broke that news on Texas Football on Friday, which is interesting. That means DeCorian is a thinker. It's not – he's thinking about, look, Texas, wide receiver, five-star guy that Texas signed last year, Ryan Wingo. Asking, being around Ryan Wingo, getting the questions answered from him that he needs answered as a recruit. All the other stuff kind of falls in place for the Moores. I mean, there was 15 family members and friends there in one of the photos. Rod Babers was joking about it last night. We've never seen that many family members and friends in a photo on an official visit before at Texas, but that's what it was. There was about 14, 15 people in the photo. Obviously, some of his family lives in Austin. The mom's from Austin, went to Lanier High School. Grandmother lives in the Austin area. So there's a lot of family in Austin, but the fact that they were all at the University of Texas around that official visit, I think, obviously. DeCorian Moore said it when I did the interview with him that's on Texas Football that a while back, that's in the archives of the video. He knows where his family wants him to go. Now it comes down to where does he want to be. And I think Texas did a great job with him this weekend.
Good stuff, Jerry. Just good stuff. It sounds like, you know, the other thing I heard is that they had over at the Victory Lap, they were playing a boxing match that the players all went to go watch. Victory Lap's a bar, kind of a sports bar place right off of West Campus. And they all rented that place out. And the kids all had a lot of fun over there on Saturday night as well. Jerry, I'm looking at it across the board. And not only did Texas have 16 guys come in, but there were numerous guys elsewhere over the weekend. Michael Terry out of Alamo Heights was at A&M. A couple other guys were off at USC and Miami, et cetera, all over the country. Texas, and you mentioned the silent commitment piece, and you mentioned momentum, right? Well, how has Texas had such positive momentum, in your opinion? I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask you, how does Texas have such positive momentum yet not have these flurry of public commitments? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so I think the Texas staff knows where they sit with a lot of guys, but Sarkisian does not. Look, he could have 18 guys committed right now, but that's not the way Texas recruits. I mean, anybody that's followed Sark since he's been in Austin knows that's not the way that he recruits. He wants these guys to take the visits, make sure they know where they want to go, and then make your commitment and have a big day and big celebration and all that. But Texas isn't pushing to get these guys committed so people can look at the class and say they have 18 guys committed and they're ranked here in the recruiting class. Sark plays the longer game. They know where they stand in a lot of these recruitments right now, but they also don't want to rush decisions. And then these kids during the season come back and say, hey, man, I didn't get a chance to take my visits. I really want to go. I decided I want to go to Tennessee for a game. To get through the recruiting process, know where you want to go, lock in, go enjoy your senior season. I mean, I think that's kind of where it's at. I think the Texas staff has a good feel for where they're at with a lot of these guys, and it's going to play out. The next thing I'm watching is for who cancels visits. Kelshon Johnson told me yesterday afternoon, unlikely he goes to USC. It's going to be A&M or Texas for him. You could see a couple other guys maybe cancel an official visit this week and not take a final official visit, get closer to making that decision. So it'll be interesting to see. Bobby, I want to zip through a couple of these questions real quick if you don't mind.
Go for it. Go for it, buddy.
So Antoine, sorry, I got a bug in my throat this morning. How are we feeling about Smith or Ogbo? Rock coming here with a sign of a Rogbo next. Look, Smith is interesting because his family did not come on the visit. His father went on the April visit, the unofficial visit. Father had work stuff this weekend. I personally think Smith's number one choice is Texas. But does that mean he's going to go to Texas? It does not. The academic piece is large, and you would say that gives Texas an advantage over Texas Tech in Oklahoma. Washington's in his final four, which he announces July 1st, but I don't see that. So the question is, does the family think Austin, everything that comes with that's too big, too much distraction? Very academic minded. That's a family that doesn't even want to talk football. They just want to talk academics. Literally a college went in May, from what I was told, and talked about football first, and the meeting ended. It's just kind of the way it is. So it'll be interesting to see. I think Smith's really likes Texas. That doesn't mean he goes to Texas, though. So that'll be interesting to see. Odenhorn's talked about Wingo hosting DeCorey and Moore. Trace Little, thank you very much for the super chat. 15 silent commitments, right? I think 4 or 5. I'll go there. Z-Bread, T. Hines or Kelshon Johnson, French or Lockett? Great question. I think we'll see. Again, I think Kelshon Johnson's close to a decision. I think Tanook Hines told me early July he's coming off a Notre Dame visit. Does he still visit Baylor this weekend, or does he just shut it down and make a decision after visiting USC, Texas, and Notre Dame? We'll see on that. French or Lockett, big weekend coming up there. Jamie French, Khalif Lockett on campus. I put the odds higher for French than Lockett going into this weekend. I see a scenario where those guys go to different schools, but we'll see how it plays out, right? And I'm just going to go down a couple more of these. Is Riley Pettijohn visiting A&M by himself? I'd be very surprised on that. I think that'll be a family visit. Let me go down a couple more questions here. Sorry. What about the O lineman out of Northern California, John Mills? Good question. Done with the visit process. Decision could come anytime now in the June, early July. I think Texas, Washington, Florida on the periphery. He had a good couple of visits to Florida, Washington. But the key there for John Mills, and I think, and I've always had it about 65-70%. I remain that way. Is he's said a couple of times, I want to play football in the South. If that maintains, you really like Texas chances there. If Washington's late run, you know, with family doesn't do something to change that. This is an interesting one, Bobby. The fact that Sark's trusts younger guys to host recruits says a lot. I agree with that because that shows a confidence in the culture and the guys you're recruiting into the program. Daniel Cruz hosting John Mills, Ryan Wingo hosting DeCorian Moore, Ty Anthony Smith hosted Jonathan Cunningham. I mean, Jonte Cook hosted Kelshon Johnson. A lot of times, Bobby, it used to be the older players hosting guys. Texas is using these younger guys now, which tells you that they feel like the kids they're recruiting, not only were they right on the fit at Texas, but the experience they're having at Texas.
All right. Hey, we need to say thank you to our sponsor. Thank you for that also, Jerry Hamilton. Just a plethora of news coming out of this past weekend's recruiting weekend for the Longhorns. Thank you to our sponsor, John Donovan, President, Longhorn Wealth Management Group. John's a proud Texas Exodus Life member whose wife and six siblings are also UT grads. This explains why John branded his firm Longhorn Wealth and has dedicated his firm to providing total wealth management for Texas alums, employees, family, and friends. John's a certified financial planner with more than 30 years of experience and wants to offer every OTF member and fan a free 90-minute consultation to explore how Longhorn Wealth can help you and your family maximize your wealth, minimize your taxes, and secure your own financial future and legacy. So to schedule your own 90-minute free consultation, simply call the Longhorn Wealth team, 972-707-4900, or schedule an appointment online at www.longhornwealth.net. Lastly, Longhorn Wealth is wishing good luck to all of our current and former Longhorns who are competing at the U.S. Olympic Trials for the right to represent the USA in the Summer Olympics in France in July and August. Hook 'em. A couple of swimmers, by the way, have already qualified for the U.S. Olympics. And sticking on that, thanks, John, for your sponsorship. Sticking on that vein, outside of just football guys, Texas got a huge commitment yesterday. Actually, just the entire volleyball team had three commitments over the weekend, including one from a young lady named Henley Anderson out of Dripping Springs. She's the number one overall volleyball recruit in the country. She committed to Jarrett Elliott's program yesterday. Just huge pickup there. She's number one player in the country by Prep Dig. They also got Genevieve Harris, who is a setter out of North Carolina. She's the nation's number one ranked setter. And then Emma Cugino, a defensive specialist out of Ohio. Three commitments for Jarrett Elliott on the day, back-to-back national champ volleyball team. So good stuff there as well. Hey, Blake, before we go on to football and talk a little bit more there, we also want to talk a little bit about the baseball situation. I think that's important right now. Chris Del Conte facing a decision of sorts. The Longhorn athletic director has not come out and given a what do you want to say, Jerry? A letter of endorsement, I guess, or words of encouragement to the head baseball coach at the University of Texas, David Pierce. It is that decision is lingering. How much longer is it going to linger? Well, let's wait and see, because it's pretty clear that if they wanted to have a decision of somebody that wasn't in the baseball tournament still, they probably already would have had that decision. I think but the College World Series is underway, and we'll have to wait and see what comes of this and what Chris Del Conte has up his sleeve as it relates to the baseball program. Certainly something that I'm monitoring on a number of fronts. I mean, there are three or four coaches at the World Series that are definite possibilities for the Longhorns. So it's not just one or two guys. I mean, there's several that got their teams there that that could do that as well.
Definitely. Hey, Blake, I want to bring up something living rent-free in UT said, because I think this is important. Feels like Texas is in the top two for all their prospects, even the out-of-state guys. This is why I like where Texas sits in this recruiting class. I'm telling you, Myron Charles, even though he wasn't on campus last weekend, that's very much in play for Texas heading to the FSU visit this weekend. Javion Hilson visited last week, and we quickly forget those guys. Josiah Sharma. I mean, Texas is, you know, when we talked about Marco Jones, you talk about Kelshon Johnson, A&M or Texas. A big one coming in this weekend, Nick Townsend. Keyote Armstrong commits to A&M. Nick Townsend's been the top tight end for Texas on the board. Texas Bama for Nick Townsend headed into this weekend. Texas is in a great spot for a lot of guys. Jamie French will come down to Texas and somebody. Is it going to be Tennessee? Is it going to be Miami? A lot of people think Tennessee and not LSU or Miami. We'll see who the actual second team is. Texas is in the top two for a lot of guys. They're going to win their fair share of these recruitments. They're going to, I've said it before, they're going to drop. They're not going to win two or three that maybe we all thought they'd win. They're going to win two or three. Maybe we didn't think they'd win starting June. But Texas is in a good spot in this recruiting class because they are in the top two for a lot of really talented players. And that makes for a strong recruiting class. What we've been saying is a fourth straight top five level recruiting class. Now, that is one part of it. Two is, do you fill your needs? So that's going to be the second part we're talking about here at the end of early in July as these kids commit. Where the needs have the needs been filled by Texas? Where may they look during the season? Because if you remember, Xavier Filsaimea didn't have an offer this time. Mordell Mack was committed to Florida. Ty'Anthony Smith is committing to A&M here in July, August. So there were needs to be filled left in that class. Texas will continue to work on it, work on that, whatever need they have, because they won't fill all the needs in July here. You never do, but I think Texas is on the right track because they're in the top two with enough of these prospects to where they're going to put together a top five level recruiting class once again.
Hey, Jerry, you mentioned one other player came to my mind. You mentioned Riley Pettijohn and the situation there with his recruitment. What about Jonathan Cunningham, the other linebacker that was in out of North Crowley? You made a somewhat cryptic statement on Texas Football this morning about, you know, which way he's trending and his percentage, et cetera. What are your thoughts right now on Jonathan Cunningham and his recruitment with Texas?
Yeah, I think we're waiting to see Madden Foraimo. Brandon Huey's not on here, else he'd be jumping up and down right now. The linebacker out of San Juan Capistrano scheduled to be in this weekend in Notre Dame lean. How much ground can Texas make up there? Can they pull an upset there? I've continued to hear Texas wants three linebackers in this class. They have Elijah Barnes, who will be in officially visiting this weekend, one of the best in the country. Jonathan Cunningham, similar. It's interesting that Ty'Anthony Smith hosted him. They're very similar. Similar frames, similar length, similar kind of personality from being around both of those guys. I thought that was a pretty good fit host right there for Jonathan Cunningham. And similar to Ty'Anthony Smith, Jonathan Cunningham has that frame that you have to project out a year from when he enrolls at Texas. Ty'Anthony Smith was, 6'1", 195, 79-inch wingspan when he reported to Texas, 197, something like that, closing in on 210, apparently, or expected to be 210 by August. But those guys take a little time. But I think Texas will win that recruitment if they make the push. I'm interested to see what happens with Madden Foraimo this weekend.
All right. Hey, Jerry, go back to Kelshon Johnson a little bit, because I'm trying to the receiver position is one that is interesting to me, kind of not unlike the linebacker one, where you're trying to juggle different pieces, but the receiver group looks more wide open because you don't have any commitments from that position at this point. But here's one of your favorite guys I know, and his name's Kelshon Johnson, and you've been saying it's 50-50 Texas A&M. What is it that you like about Kelshon Johnson and why you put him up there with the best in the state or even country?
He reminds me of kids from South Florida from years of doing this nationally with Under Armour camps, ESPN, what have you. He's a guy that is not even close to where he's going to be physically. And I think he makes a big jump. Coach Smith, that group does a great job at Hitchcock. It's a smaller school, right, in Galveston County. The key there is, though, he goes from football to basketball to track. And they won state 2 years in a row in basketball. So he gets in the track later. But he's not a guy that is in Dallas working with margin hooks, right? That's really developing And physically, he's going to develop more at the college level. He's going to be a sleek guy. But you just – the one thing he has that you can't coach is he's got such a combination of initial quickness, ability to accelerate, ability to decelerate, and then long speed. He runs 10.6, but I swear if he just trained for track, he'd run 10.3. But some people say, well, wait, is he a track guy? No. He actually – here's the thing you got to like about Kelshon as a prospect, and I actually think this went over really well with Texas and Texas A&M and their recruitment of him. He passed up the regional track meet to go make a visit to Texas. So if you're wondering, is he a track guy that's good at football? No, football's his number one, and he realizes where his future is. He passed up a chance to qualify for state and track to go make a visit to Texas in the spring. That's just a really good athlete that's dedicated to football, that knows where his future is. I think his upside's really high. So we'll see what happens there. I think what's interesting about that recruitment is, and I reported this, is, you know, coming off the A&M visit, everybody, you know, there was talk, oh, he's going to A&M. It's done deal. He's going to go to A&M. Sark tried to call him that Sunday. So that tells you right there, okay, Texas really likes this guy. We've been saying that. It's almost like people don't understand the type of player Sark recruits sometimes in our industry. It's wild to me. But we'll see what happens. Because, you know, the great thing is you're there on that official visit weekend. Obviously, DeCorian Moore gets a lot of the attention on that official visit weekend. So how does that all play out with A&M? That you're our guy. You and Khalik Lockett are our guys, right? You know at Texas that DeCorian Moore is the guy. Jamie French is also in there. And there's a lot of talented, very talented receivers that are wanting their shot to be a Texas Longhorn. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I think deep down, in heart of hearts, I think Kelshon wants to be at Texas. We'll see what happens, though.
Hey, another guy that we're getting a lot of questions on is actually somebody that committed elsewhere, and tight end Coyote Armstrong, who committed to A&M over the weekend. And, Jerry, I mean, there's like 10 questions regarding him, so I'm just going to throw a couple at you. Did the commitment to A&M shock you?
I thought he would take his visits, so I was surprised that he didn't finish the official visit process. But I do think that A&M has been really targeting him for a while. And so I think that was all eggs in, you know, all eggs in the basket there. I think they knew that, look, Nick Townsend probably wasn't going their way. It looks like Alabama, Texas, you can't walk away empty handed with those two guys. There's two, it's kind of like linebacker, Elijah Barnes, Riley Pettijohn, two of the top linebackers in the country in the same class. In this state, Coyote Armstrong, Nick Townsend, two of the top tight end prospects in the country. You can't go for two, and both those guys go to Texas, right? That can't happen. So I was surprised he didn't make the official visit to Texas. But the crazy thing there is, we'll see how things play out. I mean, Ty'Anthony Smith never made an official visit to Texas either. But I do think this is more of a solid commitment for A&M with Coyote Armstrong. But I was surprised that he committed before he ended the official visit process.
And then one other one real quick. This one from LL. He says, with him committing to A&M, are they viewing Michael Terry as that guy now at that position?
No, I think Nick Townsend, Amari Winston's committed coming in. Texas really likes Caleb Edwards out of El Dorado Hills in California, guys. They really like his upside. Michael Terry is an athlete that could end up at tight end. The interesting thing there is, a former NFL player that I talked to Saturday has seen Michael Terry and kind of thinks tight end would be his best position long term. So we'll see if that plays out that way, but we'll just have to see on that. But I think Michael Terry is being recruited as an athlete by Texas and Texas A&M. Doesn't necessarily factor into a one singular position right now for those schools. Hey, by the way, guys, I have to leave a little early. Got something medical, got to take care of. So it's that time. You know who's back? Blake, Manscaped is back. And look, this is all I got to say. This is all I got to say to you guys this morning. It's the smooth sack summer. Ladies, plus gentlemen, it's my pleasure to announce that smooth sack summer is officially upon us. When you're playing in the summer sun, make sure you're groomed from pubes to bum. Thanks to our friends at Manscaped, you can make this season your smoothest. The Performance Package 5.0 Ultra is the ultimate bundle to keep your boys downstairs cool while looking hot. Join the 10 million men plus worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer to get 20% off. Free shipping when you go to manscaped.com. Use code ONTEXAS, all caps, summertime, and the trimming is easy. Hey, and I got more. You know I got more on this. Every man knows how scary it can get when going for a close shave below the belt. That's why I trust Manscaped for all my sensitive areas. And I'm not thin skin, just got sensitive areas, right? The fifth generation trimmer features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade that goes smooth wherever your heart desires. Wait, we also have dual LED spotlights to provide contrast on multiple skin tones, three length-setting combs, and oh, did I mention this summer this trimmer is waterproof too? Beach, lake, or shower. This razor will devour even the strongest of pubes. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts for their Performance Package 5.0. The Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. There you go. Manscaped.com on Texas, all caps, for 20% off.
Two free gifts. What can go wrong?
Well, I forgot one. There's another one. I'm not done. Now that you have the perfect haircut, don't forget about Manscaped's liquid lip formulations to keep that freshness even hotter at the hottest summer barbecues. It's the crop soother. Who doesn't need that? Aftershave lotion and crop preserver, the anti-chafing ball deodorant. Once they touch your sack, you'll never go back.
Bravo! Well done, as always. Good stuff. I missed it, and apparently everybody else.
Whatever Des Garrett says.
Okay, guys. Well, we're going to jump back into some questions now. I don't know how we're going to recover from that, but we got some super chats that we need to knock out. Hook to a T. Thank you, Hook to a T. He says, thank you, Bobby, for Craig Way on Sunday, and he needs to be on the OTF team. Thanks again. Great work. He did correct himself and say, I didn't mean Saturday, but he wants to thank you for getting him on.
Oh, yeah, happy to do it. Craig's always gracious with his time. If you know Craig at all, always willing to go the extra mile. He was actually on Saturday up in Fort Worth, Arlington area, at a party for one of his former bosses, a retirement party. So Craig is always generous with his time and a wealth of knowledge, fountain of information on the Longhorns, and just a longtime friend of mine. So I appreciate it. I actually gathered up all the comments people had on the YouTube channel and on ontexasfootball.com and sent those to Craig so that he could see you guys saying you're showing your appreciation towards him. It means a lot for that to happen. So I know he puts a lot of effort into it. So thank y'all for doing that as well.
And then our next Super Chat, fellas, comes from Trace Little. And Jerry, I'm going to let you take this one. As Trace says, any news on who our quarterback commit will be? I saw the comment on Dia Bell throwing the ball this weekend. Maybe a hint, recruits know more than us often.
I think there's continues to be confidence on the Texas side with Dia Bell. So we'll see how quickly he makes a decision. When I was by American Heritage in May and since then having a little conversation back and forth, it feels like late June. Could be a decision time for Dia Bell. We'll see. Went to FSU, went to Ohio State, went to LSU. I think there remains some confidence on the Texas side with Dia Bell. So we'll see which way that goes here pretty soon. All right, guys, I got to get going this morning. Sorry, I have something medical I got to take care of this morning. Somebody said we don't talk about safety a lot. Look, big weekend coming up at DB. Big week for DBs, Bobby. I'll let you go over that. But three midweek visitors. Nathan Tillman, a guy Bobby and I really like, 185 pounds, runs 10-7. We like those guys in football. Committed to SMU, but his recruitment started to take off. Cade Phillips in this weekend, was at LSU last weekend. It'll be a Texas-LSU decision. I think there's some things working there on the Texas side with the family. But one, we think one of the best prospects in the country at the defensive back position. Then Aiden Anding out of Ruston. Huge weekend coming up, week and weekend coming up for Texas at DB recruiting. I'll be back. Talk to you guys here in a little while. We'll have more on TexasFootball.com, and we'll be back here for more discussion later on. Winning drive this afternoon. Thanks, guys.
Hook up, Jerry. See you, buddy. Safe procedure, bud. That was not the procedure. Is not for Jerry, by the way. It's for a significant other, for those wondering. So appreciate him spending time before he had to get up and get going this morning, Blake. Hey, we've had some team questions come up as well as recruiting questions. We're going to continue to get to those. I feel like Jerry has done a tremendous job. I think CJ Vogel is going to join us here in a little bit to talk a little bit more about recruiting as well. But let's get to some of these questions, Blake, and try to get them out and get them going.
All right, Bobby. Well, this first one here from Living Rent Free in UT. He says, is it Kyle Flood or the Pancake Factory? Which one receives the most credit for losing only one recruit to the portal the last 3 years with tons more trying to jump in the boat?
Well, here's the reality of it. The Pancake Factory, as it existed 3 years ago, is no longer a reality. So now they're all individual deals as opposed to just the Pancake Factory. I do think that the Pancake Factory helped solidify Texas in that way out of the gate. And I do think that it served a tremendous purpose in that way. So they no longer have the Pancake Factory exclusively for the offensive line because NIL has become so pervasive. They don't want to do that. They want to do it for every player, essentially. So it can't just be for the offensive lineman. If the OLs get it, then what happens to the tight end or the wide receiver, et cetera? And so they did away with that. I do think that the Pancake Factory had a major impact. But right now, I think it's more about Kyle Flood and what he's doing as that. He has not just lost one player in recruiting. He's only lost one guy into the portal that ended up starting somewhere else, and that's Logan Parr. The offensive lineman that's now starter at SMU. I think he was all conference last year, but he wasn't playing behind Cole Hudson, DJ Campbell, or Hayden Connor, or Jake Majors. So it wasn't like he was someone that Texas really couldn't afford to lose. That speaks to the depth that Kyle Flood and his team have built up.
All right, Bobby, our next one comes from King Me. He says, how do you think the Red River rivalry stacks up against other SEC rivalry games?
I think the only one that compares is Alabama-Auburn. I've thought about this. I was on Paul Feinbaum's show about a month ago now down in Destin, and one of the guys there, Tony Barnhart, who I think is tremendous, longtime SEC commentator, writer, et cetera, good guy. He started talking about how the world's largest cocktail party was better than the Texas OU game. And it was my first appearance on Feinbaum, so I wasn't going to sit there and, rag on it. But I will say this. I mean, how is something that's called a party going to be a better rivalry than something that's called a shootout? I mean, rivalry is about hating each other, not about going and having drinks together. You know, it's like, it's just a different tone. Texas and OU is a lot about hate. Yes, there's some mutual respect at some level, but not much. And I love it. I think Alabama-Auburn is the only other one, in my opinion, Blake, in the United States that really matches it. I know people will say Michigan-Ohio State. And I would add that one to that list of Texas OU and Alabama Auburn. Those are the three, but down south it's Texas and OU in the south, southwest, Alabama Auburn in the south, Michigan, Ohio State in the Midwest.
And then this question here comes from Phil. And Phil wants to know, and I think everybody wants to know, Bobby. Phil's definitely not alone. How's the weight situation with Sadir Mitchell?
You know, it's been – I reported this last week. It's been up and down. It's not necessarily what you want to hear. I think he's been anywhere between 358 and 375 in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Just, you know, his weight vacillates that much. And so as we're looking at it, Blake, and as even the coaches are looking at it, they want some consistency out of it, right? I mean, we talk about it all the time. You have to get consistency from these guys to trust them enough to even play and put them on the field. That's right now his issue. He's got to be more consistent when he gets on campus, and we'll see what happens. That's all there is to it.
And while we're on the subject of defensive linemen, specifically defensive tackles, Chin Ups wants to know, any word on Melvin Hills, the other defensive tackle signee?
Hey, great question. Thank you for even bringing up Melvin. He's on campus going through drills. I have not heard anything positive, negative on him yet. So sometimes you hear one or the other if something's amiss or going really, really great. I've heard neither at this point. So I'll look into that, though. That's a good one to look into for us.
Okay, Bobby. Well, before we move on and take some more questions here, I need to tell folks out there about Factor. And fellas, warmer, sunnier days are calling. You can fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. Make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. What are you waiting for? With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. You can crush your wellness goals this May with dietitian approved, I'm sorry, this June, with dietitian approved meals and ingredients that you can trust. And just make your day delicious, fellas, from breakfast to dessert. Stay fueled with easy, nutritious options. You can treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon. Keep kitchen time to a minimum. Factor meals are ready in 2 minutes. Like I said, there's no shopping, no prepping, no cooking or cleaning up. That's what makes it so great. That's why I enjoy it. But I know Bobby feels the same. You can enjoy effortless support for your lifestyle. You choose from six menu preferences to help you manage calories, maximize your protein intake, avoid meat, or just simply eat well-balanced. Whatever you want, Factor has you covered. So head on over to factormeals.com/Texas50 and use code Texas50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code Texas50 at factormeals.com/Texas50 to get 50% off that first box plus 20% off next month and while your subscription is active. And we want to thank them for sponsoring and welcome back to sponsoring. I know we've enjoyed their meals for a long time, Bobby.
Absolutely. I love them. I love them. Good stuff. Hey, just to recap what was said earlier today, Texas hosted 16 official visitors over the weekend, including DeCorian Moore, the wide receiver, nation's number one wide receiver out of Duncanville, Texas. Then Ricky Stewart, the other commitment for Texas, as well as Brandon Brown, defensive tackle out of Ogallala, Florida. Lance Jackson, a young man out of Texarkana. 16 players in all visited the Longhorns over the weekend. I believe are 17, excuse me. Longhorns right now trying to figure out, we're trying to figure out which ones have committed and have not committed. Jerry says he believes there's at least 4 to 5 that have given private commitments to the University of Texas staff at this point. At wide receiver, DeCorian Moore, clearly a priority, had around 15 family members with him during his official visit over the weekend. Of course, a lot of those are from the state of, are from the city of Austin, so they were just coming over. Also, some other news to look at, Kelshawn Johnson. Jerry believes that even though a lot of A&M fans seem to think that that was headed A&M's way this time a week ago, Texas has some reason for hope in that recruitment. Nick Brooks, the big offensive lineman out of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, is looking at Texas and Georgia. Those appear to be the big two. John Mills, another big offensive lineman, 6'6", 325 pounds. Guys, he is down to Texas and Washington. It looks like at this point, a number of other updates to come as well. Smith Arogbo, one we're watching. Brandon Brown, one we're watching. Tristan Castro, even. I think I'm going to let CJ, we're going to bring CJ Vogel in here to talk a little bit about Tristan Castro. CJ, you talked to Tristan over the weekend. What did he have to say? And welcome into the morning show, buddy.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Happy Monday. No, I was able to talk to Tristan Castro a little bit before he departed out of Bergstrom yesterday. The visit went very well with Texas. And he's evaluating his only two official visits. Obviously, he's committed to USC at the moment. He was at Texas this weekend. We'll head to USC next week. And after that, he will take a step back. And he's going to evaluate the two trips. And he will make a final decision, whether it be Texas or USC at the moment. He said Texas set the bar very high. So it's going to be up to USC to either hold on to par there, exceed expectations, or there might be a flip in the works later on with Tristan Castro. He's a bit more lengthy than I thought he would be. Seeing him in person, I was impressed with the length, the frame that he possessed. They said that they were talking to him about playing either nickel or the outside cornerback position. He liked what Austin had to offer, whether it be the university or the city in itself. He was a big fan of his trip. And again, it's a high bar for USC. They're going to need to cover all the bases for him in terms of making sure that he stays in the class for the Trojans.
Hey, CJ, we asked Jerry the same question at the very outset of this show before he had to go. The question I have for you is the general vibe you got from this weekend. Overall positive, anything interesting? What were the overall vibes you got from this recruiting weekend?
Yeah, I thought Texas did a really good job of being able to showcase the team outside of being on the field and kind of that culture that we've talked about. Saturday night, they were all together at Victory Lap in West Campus to watch some of the fights, the boxing matches with Tank Davis. That's a big hit amongst the young kids these days. And so when they were out, you know, together, we talked to a lot of recruits, you know, Dalen McCutcheon, Marco Jones. We talked to, you know, Tristan Castro, a number of these guys, they were all sitting there saying, yeah, there was a great opportunity to sit back with our hosts, the rest of the team, and just get an idea of what it was like to see these guys communicate with guys who aren't necessarily in their position groups or guys that you would see hanging out with each other off the field. The whole team was there, and there was that camaraderie that you would expect from a very close-knit team that stood out to a number of kids. So I was really excited to hear that that team is continuing to progress off the field, and it stood out to a number of these kids immediately this weekend as well. So if they're able to replicate that next weekend as well, you should continue to hear a lot of positive remarks as well. So I thought that was the number one takeaway, aside from obviously the time with the coaches, the time with the position meetings. That was really important for a number of these recruits, and it made a lot of impact for a number of big-time recruits this weekend.
Hey, guys, I want to get y'all's take on this question here from Elaine Roker. He says, what do you think is more important, this past weekend's visits or the upcoming week?
Both. Both is the answer. You know, I hate to say this, but we got to get out of this either-or mentality for Texas. When you're trying to build a national championship team, it's no longer we want one wide receiver. We want multiple wide receivers. It's no longer we just want Quinn Ewers. Well, we want Arch Manning and Trey Owens and KJ Lacy too. That's what it takes to get to the mountain type a little bit. And so I know that that's not really what the question was, but that's where I'm taking the answer. It's because I don't think you can look at it that way. They need Michael Fasusi. They need guys like that too. CJ, that are going to come in. They need guys like Dorian Brew, Cade Phillips, guys that are coming in next week, just as much as they need a DeCorian Moore, Nick Brooks, John Mills, or some of those guys, Riley Pettijohn, et cetera.
And then these next two questions, guys, if my mouse will click off there, these next two questions are somewhat sort of related here. So I'm going to read both of these to y'all and then let y'all answer. Zach Kern says, hi, fellas. You think that Sark getting his recruiting class together late is sustainable? Every year, I'm spazzing out about this time of the year. And then the other part of this comes from Kelly Horns Up. What's y'all's thoughts on Sark's recruiting strategy to play the long game?
I have to be honest. Like when it first started this way, 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I guess, I was concerned, genuinely. And you know what? Then lightning struck with Kelvin Banks and Cameron Williams, with Nato Umiozulu, with some other guys. Then the year after that, Arch Manning comes in. And then you get Anthony Hill late. Then last year, Ryan Wingo late. Colin Simmons, relatively late. You turn guys like Wardell Mack, Xavier Filsimi, even Ty Anthony Smith. And so at some point, Blake, you have to say, okay, this is his strategy, and you look at the end results. And the end results have been 3 straight top 5 classes. So at what point, I've been covering this 30 years. I get it. Like, it's easier for everything to be done in June and July. It absolutely is. But is that what's best long term for your team? And I think that's where Steve Sarkisian likes to play. He likes to gamble a little bit in this regard, I think. And I'm not saying it's actually gambling. It's just he likes to wait and see who really wants to be at Texas and really push the envelope in that regard. And I think it's fine. I think it's working out tremendously for the University of Texas right now. I mean, all he's done is double down, and he keeps coming up. He keeps drawing a 5 when he's drawn at 16, you know? So he's doing great.
Yeah. These official visit weekends are so important. And, of course, with the way that the timeline for recruiting has moved up over the years, whether it be a second, you know, signing day in December, there might potentially be one later on down the road that starts up around August as well. Everything starts to move up and up and up. The big thing for me is getting those visits in April to get those guys an idea of what it's like on campus to lock in that next month of May, the official visits for June. Because, again, we've seen it over the last couple of years under Sarkisian. June is so important for official visits. And we don't really see a whole lot of official visits more so in the fall anymore. So to get these guys on campus and to really get them an idea to shut things down, very important. We've seen it with Anthony Hill. What you do in June carries over. We've seen it with Colin Simmons. The same thing. Now in the most recent classes, you see the bulk of your class start to establish right now, whether it be this week, next week, or the first 2 weeks of July. That's where most of your class comes together. Texas actually got a pretty hot start in this cycle with 10 guys committed before the turn of the calendar. So they're, in my opinion, a little bit further ahead from what we've seen over the past 2 or 3 cycles. And again, with all these guys coming in, there's 7 guys committed in the 2025 class coming in this weekend, Bobby. That's a great opportunity to kind of get an idea, if you're Jamie French or Michael Fasusi, who you'll be playing with and whether or not you'll be a good fit in that class or at the University of Texas in itself. So I like how they've gone about it. This year, I think they've gone out and they've added some national guys earlier as a result of, 1, winning on the field, and 2, having an established program with the coaching staff at Texas remaining on campus. Very important for that aspect as well. But this weekend is going to be very important again because you have that chance to kind of sit back and say, yeah, here's 7 guys that you'll be playing with. If you want to join the fold, we're all going to be recruiting you, whether it be the coaching staff or the players. It's a great opportunity. But this way that Sarkisian's gone about recruiting and filling up his classes and the timeline of the recruiting cycle, I've loved it so far.
And our next question from Jason. How important is it getting the last visit from a recruit?
I think it varies at times, right? You know, sometimes it's very important to get that first visit because some kids are very impressionable. You want to get out there. Texas doesn't do this often. They like sitting back with that second and then last week of the week or of the month of June. But sometimes it's very important to set the bar very high. With Tristan Castro, the cornerback out of Upland, Texas, or California, he sat there and said, yeah, it's going to be Texas or USC. I'm going to compare the 2 visits, and then I'm going to sit back and make my decision. Javion Hilson was the same way. He's going to Florida State next weekend, and he's going to use his time in Tallahassee to compare it against Austin, and then a decision will come from there. So If you're able to sit there and set the bar high, it's very important. Otherwise, to come in very late and kind of say, yeah, you've seen everything that you've needed to see elsewhere. Let me show you what you've missed out at Texas. And move into the dead period of the month of July. That last visit lingering is very important as well. So it's all kind of strategic, whether or not where you sit with a recruit as well. I like the idea of having the last visit, because then you get to sit there for the next 3, 4, 5 weeks and say, all right, what did I really like about my official visits? Well, the most recent one was the one at Texas, where they like to have those guys that last week of June. That's normally where I prefer. And the staff, again, 20 guys coming in next week, they've done a great job of making sure that that week is their week when it comes to official visits. So I like the last visit if I could prefer to have a big weekend in the month of June.
I'm a big believer in first or last visits, typically. I think it was actually tracked back in the mid to like 2004, 2005. The first and last visit were the two most impactful of a recruit. And, you know, the problem was that with some of the data, we never went forward with the data because some kids only took one visit, right? So that was the first one and the last one. And then some were scheduled to take four visits, then only took three whenever they committed to the third school. So that was their last visit. But there are some numbers and analytical data out there. The question is whether or not it's completely valid about the first and last visit being the most beneficial. Hey, guys, before we go further, I want to say thank you to our friends at Longhorn Wealth Management Group. As a proud UT alum, John Donovan has served for 15 years as a Texas Exes board member while focusing his firm on serving his fellow UT alums and employees. John's a certified financial planner who spent more than 30 years providing investment, retirement, insurance, and estate planning services and solutions to Longhorn families and friends across the nation. So to receive your free 90-minute consultation to explore how Longhorn Wealth can help you and your family secure your own financial future, simply call the Longhorn Wealth team at 972-707-4900 or schedule an appointment online at www.longhornwealth.net. Finally, Longhorn Wealth is wishing good luck to all current and former Longhorns who are competing at the U.S. Olympic Trials for the right to represent the USA in the Summer Olympics in France in July and August. Hook 'em. By the way, I do believe at least two male swimmers, from the University of Texas have already qualified for the Olympics in Paris.
And a female swimmer as well.
Oh, female swimmer too. Okay, there you go.
And while we're on the subject of non-football, real quick, guys, I just want to take this question from Coachy Samuel. He says, do you guys think the softball coaches have a chance of getting the Stanford ace pitcher in the portal? I'm actually posting an update on TexasFootball.com regarding that right now for a little more insight, but to answer your question, yes.
What is it?
Yes. It sounds like it's they are very much in the thick of things. And so, like I said, I'm currently typing an update up. I'll have that posted over on ontexasfootball.com here in just a moment. So I'm going to let you guys answer this next question so I can finish that update. And let's take this question here from Woodcrest. Let's talk about OU and other programs. Woodcrest says, do you guys think the addition of headset communication with the quarterback will heavily affect, we'll say, team success in stealing signals?
Yeah, yes. I have to imagine. I mean,
yeah,
communication isn't visible anymore, Bobby. It's from ear to ear, basically. So that's going to help. I had a conversation with a Power 5 head coach earlier this year. They wanted multiple communicators on the field at a time, multiple headset guys for all the positions, specifically on the defensive side of the ball. You know, when teams do go quick, they'll have the option to either take the call from the headset or look over to the sideline and get it from the signs, the signalers, the way that we've seen over the past few years. So to combat that, and they had it during the bowl season as well, multiple guys on the field getting the call from their head coach, whether it not be just one central guy on the field, a middle linebacker, a nickel, a safety, whatever it might be. If you had a guy at each level of the defense, I think that's where a number of coaches at in the Power 5 level were really hoping that would that rule would kind of come in place for. Of course, you could have then one at safety, linebacker, and the defensive line. That way you didn't need to all have one central piece. So we'll see how quickly offenses combat, you know, communications on the defensive side of the ball. Again, I think you can go very quick with, you know, the no huddle, look to the sideline, that same kind of mindset offensively where you can slow things down. You can huddle up, you can go to the headset communication with the quarterback, and then move from there. So we'll see. But I think it's going to be a great opportunity to get rid of signal stealers, if you will. And for Steve Sarkisian, that extra opportunity to sit there and talk to Quinn Ewers to diagnose what teams have been doing, if they've been rolling the coverages late in their looks defensively, it's going to be a very helpful tactic for the Longhorns this year when it comes to just further coaching on the field with Sarkisian and Ewers.
Hey, I want to pass along some sad news here, guys. Mike Brumley, the former Longhorn shortstop infielder, passed away over the weekend in a car wreck. He was 61 years old, had a fairly decent MLB career, went on to be an MLB assistant coach. He, of course, was on the 1983 national championship baseball team that included Roger Clemens, Calvin Schiraldi, and those guys. Brumley, one of several players that ended up playing in the major leagues off that team, but want to pass along our thoughts and prayers to Mike and his family. UT boy, thanks for bringing that up so I could mention that. I saw that news yesterday and immediately thought back to that 1983 national championship baseball team. Hey, CJ, you and Rod talked a little bit this past weekend on Saturday doing a breakdown of Texas versus Michigan. And I know we've got a bunch of recruiting stuff. We're going to have more recruiting. We'll have another recruiting show probably around noon today to do a little bit of a wrap up with everybody. But CJ, I want to ask you about you and Rod did a deep dive on the Texas Michigan game. What were some key takeaways from you and Rod on that to share that with folks here on Coffee and Football?
Yeah. I think we all can agree the strength of that team will come from the trenches, right? I know Michigan is departing a lot from the offensive side of the ball. They're going to have to replace a number of offensive linemen, I believe all of them, and their sixth guy as well. That's Zach Zinter, who actually started the first 8 or 9 games, broke his leg, and departed for the NFL afterward. But you look at that offensive line, Bobby, and the thing to me is experience. You know, they might not have been full-time starters at any point at their time at Michigan, but you look at how old they are. That's very important to me with the offensive line. Senior transfer, grad transfer, redshirt junior, redshirt sophomore. Every expected offensive lineman has been in the Michigan program for at least 3 years. And the way that they've kind of instilled that Harbaugh mentality of physicality up front, that's something I'm looking at right now to say, okay, even though they're replacing a lot of guys, these guys have been around the program a while. They've been around the block. They understand what it's like to play that style of football. Oh, and then they've been going against Kenneth Grant, Mason Graham, and the rest of that defensive line every day in practice for multiple years. That's going to pay off at some point. Whether or not Texas has the legs and the bodies up front to challenge them or not, they're going to be, in my opinion, very talented, this group. The question is if Texas is able to move the football offensively, which I expect them to have some success, right? They've got some horses in that stable offensively. Could Michigan keep up? If it becomes a run-and-gun kind of game and the score kind of gets a little bit north of what I think many are expecting, Michigan's going to look to hold onto the rock, kind of own that time of possession, and limit the opportunities for the Texas offense. If Texas scores often and early, will Michigan have the firepower to maintain a game where you're going to need to throw the football to score points? I'm not sure if Alex Orji is that guy. I wasn't too impressed with him in the spring game. He didn't complete a pass a year ago. He did have a number of rushing attempts, but he's not your prototypical quarterback in the way that you're going to hit in breaking routes, underneath routes. If he's throwing to a spot, you know, get in rhythm, hit your back foot, and deliver a stop, a comeback, or a curl route, he can do that very well. But we saw that with Jalen Milroe a year ago. If you only have that first read and you're delivering immediately in rhythm, well, Texas is going to undercut that. We saw that with Jahdae Barron. We saw it with Jaron Thompson. Those were the two interceptions that set up short fields for the Longhorns against Alabama. And it was all because of one read. You take it away, you take away the football. I'm not sure if Alex Orji right now is going to be the guy who will go through multiple reads. He's a great athlete. And again, looking back at Milroe, Texas did a great job of containing him to very limited rushing success. But that's going to be the big question. If Texas gets up early, Texas will have great success in that game. If not, well, that defense better come to play and get off the field in key situations because they're going to run the football and own that time of possession.
All right, guys, that's going to about do it for today's Coffee and Football. Blake, take folks through who all we need to thank today, and then I've got some recruiting news to finish with.
All right, guys. Hey, before we do, Bobby, I've had a few questions. I have to ask you this real quick. UT Boy and others want to know, where are we tailgating week one?
I've yet to make that announcement because I do believe we're definitely going to be on campus. I think it's going to either be at a new spot across from Bass Concert Hall, or it's going to be on the LBJ lawn. So that's not been decided yet, but it's close. It's close.
Okay. Well, like as Bobby said, that's going to pretty much do it for today's show. We want to thank John Donovan and Longhorn Wealth Management Group, along with Factor and Manscaped for sponsoring today's show. Thank you all for the super chats as well and the great questions. We got to as many as we can. But, Bobby, I'm going to also let you tell them why they should head on over to ontexasfootball.com as well.
Yeah.
You take it away.
Yeah, there's a lot of news going on. And, CJ, you put up an article today called the Trendometer about where you think people are leaning at this point. I think that was good. Jerry also did a percentages breakdown of where he thinks these recruits are headed. Join the discussion on texasfootball.com. Use the promo code OTFOG, and you get $20 off an annual subscription. So an annual subscription is just $40, $39.95 at ontexasfootball.com. We got a lot of new subscribers over the weekend with the big recruiting news and notes. Join in the fun there as well. Also want to mention this. Texas is expecting to host three official visitors midweek this week. One of them, I think, believe starts tomorrow with an official visit. So three guys, Nathan Tillman out of Mansfield Timberview, Dijon Lee, a cornerback out of California, and then Dorian Brew, young man out of Conroe, Texas, all expected to make midweek visits. And this is on top of the 16 guys that were just in this past weekend. And then we've got another dozen or so coming up next weekend. So a lot of news and notes going on with recruiting right now. Make sure you check us out either here or on ontexasfootball.com.
And if you haven't already, be sure to hit that like and subscribe button. We definitely appreciate your support. Ring the bell so you're notified anytime that we post a video, go live, whatever it may be. And between that and ontexasfootball.com, you should be covered. Want to thank CJ for joining us as well. And for Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton and CJ Vogel, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Nice hat, Blake.
Appreciate it.